Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Do you enjoy Film Sack, and do you enjoy talking about the movies we watch or movies in general? I have some great news. We have a whole community set up over on our Discord at filmsack.com. It's easy to join. Just click the link and you're in. That's filmsack.com, and join our Discord today.
Come away, O human child, to the waters and the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand.
Can you say P? P.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 424. And I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, Circus, Socrates, Particle, Decibel, Hurricane, Dolphin, Tulip, Monica, David, Monica, Dunaway.
Mommy?
Oh, hi! I'm glad you found me. My name is Teddy, and I'm a super toy. Well, maybe not super, and not really much of a toy either. I'm more of a sidekick, stuffed with fluff, human hair, and the memories of 2,000 years of the worst staring contest ever. Ever. Oh, did I happen to mention I never sleep? Oh my God, kill me. Anywho, thanks for saving me from that hill. It'd be nice to talk to rational beings again. You are rational, right? I mean, you aren't going to do something stupid like ask David about his mother. Oh, you already did, eh? Well, at least tell me you didn't mention the blue fairy. Well, that's on you, buddy. I'm out. Good luck spending the next 2,000 years trying to cork that bottle. Hey, do you think if I jump off the side of this building, I will break? Yeah? Cool. Doing it. Viva la Teddy Ruxpin! All right, I hope you enjoyed my reenactment of the ending ending number 8 of AI.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Finally, some closure from the movie.
Finally.
Also with us...
Is it over yet?
It's not over yet. Also with us, Randy, keep him safe, Martin, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Hi.
So I was hold on. Oh, sorry, bad timing. I've been on hold with the customer support for iRobot for like hours, and they just, hold on, bear with me for a second, guys.
Okay.
Hi, Janet. I've been on hold forever. Yeah. No, listen, I've just got three quick questions for you. Yeah. Okay. First question. Why did my Roomba only last for one day? That just doesn't make sense. No, do not give me that fabric of space-time excuse. Everyone always says that. The fabric of space-time is space-time, lady. Okay, second question. Let's go. So I know that the discount on this one means it was a previously opened item, but it looks like it's been through a full torture circus. I mean, it's all marked up. There's even a bit of fur on it. What? Why do I think you call it refurbished? That's just rude. No. Okay. I have one more question for you guys. It seems like the primary purpose of my Roomba is to go forward and bump into something, then back up, then go forward and bump. So my question is, how hard is it for me to convert this into a sex bot? Hello? Hello?
Oh, they hung up on you. Damn it. Aww. That's too bad.
I just know there's a website for how to do that in three easy steps.
Three easy steps.
Is it narrated by Jeff Goldblum where he says, there's no step three?
Absolutely. Step three, enjoy.
You will actually have dinosaurs on your little dinosaur door. Brian Moon Balloon Ibbot.
Moon Balloon. Ah, you must be my 8 p.m. appointment. I'm Joe, your romantic robot partner for the evening. Once you've had a robot, you won't want to go back to a real man. Now, let's go over some of my guidelines. First off, I need to tell you that, due to my many, many partners, I may have contracted one or more of the following. Android gonorrhea, Raspberry Pi discharge, eye syphilis, herpes vista, or genital warts XP. Second, any of the following sex acts will cost extra. Simultaneous download and upload, inserting a floppy, swaffling, and making a Control-Alt-Dookie on your chest.
Oh, wow.
Before you remove any of my attachments, you need to right-click on the menu in the bottom right corner of the screen and select Eject. Otherwise, a nasty error message will come up, unless you're into that sort of thing.
See, dude. I almost went sexual and...
Hold on. Can you remind me the XP one again? What was it?
Genital warts XP.
Genital warts XP.
Herpes Vista.
Herpes Vista. Herpes Vista was actually the first thing I wrote in my whole intro. And then I started going around that. Yeah.
Easily.
Is that DOS?
Yeah. easily my favorite intro you've done in a long, long time. That was really good.
I enjoyed all of this.
That was really good. All right, the movie
as well. It was most enjoyable.
It was AI, artificial intelligence, the Steven Spielberg, Stanley Kubrick collaboration, and it's a thing we finally watched. I feel like we've kind of had this on the list for a long time. It never seemed to show up anywhere, and it finally did. It's on Netflix currently. And
it's everywhere right now.
Yeah, it is kind of everywhere. I don't know why though. It's weird to see that suddenly pop up on all these services. But
I want to try to summarize the film. Ooh, I've been thinking about this a lot since I watched it yesterday, and I find it very difficult to summarize. So it's like, in the future, humans are dealing with the climate crisis. Yeah, guess what? no surprise there.
Yeah.
For some reason, the climate crisis has wiped out tons and tons of humanity and made everybody really, really desperate. So we make sex bots. That's great. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Some people don't want sex bots though. They might want a bot that loves them. So, one crazy guy convinces people making robots to make a child. Mm. I can't summarize this movie.
You make a good point.
It's multiple movies. It's kind of like the Dusk Till Dawn kind of situation, because you've got the David and his parents movie, and then you've got the David looking for the Blue Fairy movie, and then you've got like four other mini movies attached to the very end of all.
Yeah, there's a Mad Max scene. Well, you know, like
is right. I mean, right. you can kind of sum it up mostly with Pinocchio for robots, because that's pretty much what it is.
That's kind of the story. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Pinocchio,
it follows that story structure.
Yeah, if you look at Pinocchio, it's kind of the exact same story. Yeah. And here's the okay. So how many anybody first time viewers? Or we all saw it before, or
I've seen it before, but after watching it last night, I think I didn't see it.
That's how I felt exactly.
I thought
really. I'm right, certain I saw it at the movies when it came out.
Yeah.
I did not remember the last two thirds. I remembered the first third precisely.
That's what's weird is I'm opposite. I remember the back end more than I remember the front end. But I did see it in theaters, but only once. And I remember kind of just going with the crowd on this. I remember it being controversial, and some people loved it, other people hated it. There wasn't a lot of in between, and I think I ended up just kind of going with, oh, okay, well, I guess we're not supposed to like that. It's not cool to like. I'll just move on and do other things. And I didn't really think about it. I watched it last night, and I have to say, I think I really like it. I think it's not perfect. It's got real problems, but I think I really like this movie.
This movie has gotten so much better with time. This is a rarity on FilmSack because to me, I don't know if I wasn't engaged enough with where Spielberg was going with this at that time.
I want to invert what you're saying. I don't.
Oh, really? You think it's getting worse?
No, really? I don't think the movie has gotten better with time. I think you have gotten better. I have gotten better. Scott has gotten better at accepting such things, at appreciating such things.
What about me? What about me? Huh?
What about me?
We haven't really heard your opinion yet.
I thought I was unique. I thought I was special.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think the movie has actually changed, and you can actually tell it's a 20-year-old movie in certain spots, but. I feel very much like I am a different viewer than I was 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
Ibit, what'd you think?
This is another movie I saw in the theaters and then saw on video after it, you know, had come out. I think just rental, though. I know I don't own it or anything, but I'd watched it a second time. So this will be the third viewing. And it's funny because similar to you guys, I'd forgotten a lot of the movie. I'd remembered, and I'm kind of like in the middle there. I remember the first part with the parents. And then him getting cast off. And then I remembered the very end, sort of. But a lot of the middle stuff I'd forgotten about. I forgot about the Flesh Fair and all that stuff.
Oh, Flesh Fair is so cool.
It is. It is really cool. Yeah. But I...
Whatever, Johnson.
I liked the concept of the movie. I think that it fails in some of the execution. Yeah, I think that... the script writing could be better. I think the acting, I think actually Haley Joel Osment does a really good job, but I think he's kind of given the impossible task of trying to make a likable character that is obsessive about freaking Pinocchio.
Yeah.
and he was so young then too.
Well,
and
he's a little older, just after Sixth Sense, right?
This would be a tough performance for an actor of any age.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it because the things that are required is I think it's amazing. The only other AI type movie that I've watched that I could compare this to is The Millennial Man. You had Robin Williams as well.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a full grown, you know, Shakespearean actor. That was able to emote that, and I think Haley Joel Osment did really good in this.
So in the case of other movies I was thinking of that I think maybe have done this better. So it's weird because I at the time I'm watching it and I'm appreciating it more, and then I'm also thinking of Ex Machina was a better version of this.
Well, and, you know, this is 2001 compared to
I mean, some of it's time, sure, but also I can't imagine the colossal weight that it must have been to take Kubrick's 20-year project. He'd been working on this for 20 years and then taking it over and working with him during the twilight of Kubrick's life. He's near dead and he's like, well, maybe you should direct it. And like there's this collaboration happening, but it must have been just this weighty responsibility.
I want to make a statement. I have on previous episodes of FilmSack, I've kind of tried to knock Spielberg down a notch or two. The guy often strikes me as overrated, and this film, I cannot imagine someone reaching into the brain of another filmmaker and pulling out these kind of results that Steven Spielberg does. It feels like you're watching a freaking Stanley Kubrick film. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like an homage. Like these amazing shots, this cinematography does not feel like a filmmaker pretending to be someone or paying tribute to someone by recreating things that they previously did. This feels like new thinking. And somehow Spielberg nails it, and I can't imagine anyone doing it better.
I think it does, and it doesn't. I agree with some of the things very, very Kubrick, like the David kind of taking a nosedive into the water, sinking to the bottom, and then finally seeing the blue fairy and kind of getting trapped underneath the Ferris wheel. That I feel like that was definitely untouched Stanley Kubrick ending, and I definitely feel like Steven Spielberg said, oh, we can't leave it like that. Let's have aliens come and discover him and then make his...
Well, you know what aliens should be? They should be long spindly, but you know those aren't aliens,
hold on. That's
right?
They're not aliens. Those are evolved
robots. They were aliens.
No, they're not aliens. They were never
right,
aliens. No,
you're right. They are evolved robots, right? Because you get the memory.
Yeah, which I think is a really challenging thing to portray, and I admire it and also go, I bet there's a cooler way now. But at the time, I remember thinking, all right, if you're going to make it so... The idea is that in 2,000 years, the human race has died out, but the robots persisted and the AIs persisted and they changed and evolved and made themselves better. And now they've all agreed that the new model should look like a semi-see-through glass alien weirdo spindly thing.
And the form shape was revealed earlier in the film, and I didn't pick up on it until this time.
You
but
mean
when
those,
we first
statues all over the place.
Well, when we're first introduced to David, when he's outside the door, he is this silhouette, and it is what the creatures eventually become, or the mecha become in the end. So I didn't catch that until this time around.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't think about it this time either.
I didn't. Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of the statue that William Hurt, you know, the symbol of his company that he's got all over the place, his logo and stuff.
See, but, I tried really, really hard to turn off my brain as I was watching this movie. And so I reached a zen state where I just didn't care what anything might have been or what it was trying to do. And I was just trying to take in what I was seeing. And I'll grant you that final ending was unnecessary and kind of, it kind of elongates the film and takes it into a place where you have a hard time keeping it all together. But it made I kind of thought the aliens, whatever the future people, the archaeologists of the future,
there you go.
were I thought they were wondrous and interesting, and I liked that the film didn't go to any lengths to explain them. Like, they come along and they're like, we have Wi-Fi. No, but when we're talking to each other, we have to touch. So we have hard wires. Yeah. But you know, like, if you worry about that too much, I think you lose the thread. And the film is about it's about this like beauty and wonder a lot more than about these specific details.
Yeah, I appreciate the word building that you provide by not explaining those too much. I mean, they explained it a little with a little dialogue, a subtitled dialogue when they first found the boy, and they said something like, this machine was made for... this is back before the humans were gone. You know, some kind of question like that. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I went, oh, right. Because look, there's circuitry in those heads and their bodies. And those are those are robots.
And they eventually they say that, you know, you were the beginning, that kind of stuff. They eventually reveal that. But up until, I guess, maybe at least a good 5 minutes after we've met the characters, we realize that they're the mecha, that there's information there other than, like I said, the early reveal. Early in the movie. But that's the reason why I kept thinking they were aliens, because my initial thought was, aliens.
Yeah. They're very alien looking robots. And I'd forgotten about that aspect. Yeah. It is funny though, talking about the world building, that they have all these really cool future, predictions and things like that. But self-driving cars was not on the list.
I love that. That was like my favorite. That's the failure of 2001. Making that short-sighted, not realizing where the tech
also
going.
Phones. Again, there's phones is another one, because
there's so
phones.
Many things like that I feel are enslaved to the drive to make the film beautiful. So for instance, in the future, we're still keeping spices and coffee out on the counter in glass bottles. I'm sorry, no, that's not going to happen. But in this movie, that's freaking beautiful. And the way you first see the counter in the kitchen, the counter's real reflective, and you get David's face cut in half and reflected on itself. And it's like, whoa, that is crazy. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. Mm-hmm. And you have to dress that shot somehow, right? And so it's like, forget what the future might actually be like. And pay attention to, what you're forced to take in, know?
I think part of the criticism back in the day was that there was a lot of imagery in the movie that felt like Spielberg was falling into his traps. And now I've looked at it with different eyes. I think he was trying, he may have failed for some, I'm not saying he did it perfectly, but I think he was trying to create a discordant vision of that fairy at the end talking to the boy. Comes off as a little Disneyfied, but I saw it as creepy and weird, and a construct that the boy needed to function. And that made
every
it, this,
bit of this movie is creepy and weird.
Yeah.
It is, but
yeah.
You're just supposed to feel that, right? Is that,
that's you're, what I mean, to that's feel. What I want. That's what I, that's my takeaway this time. But I think in the first time we all saw it, we came into that film with baggage, I think, as a people, as a movie going people. And we went in going, oh, well, how's Spielberg going to finish this after Kubrick died? This is going to suck. Like, I think we just had these ideas and we didn't let the movie just speak on its own. It'd been nice if we just didn't know who made it.
You can't sit there, sir. I've got a whole baggage I got to put next to me in my theater seat. Hold on.
It is kind of like that. You bring all this mental baggage, and now seeing it this much later, it's like there's none of those strings are attached anymore. So it's like,
let me
just see this for what it is. And
a story about Pinocchio, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a Pinocchio story. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. And that's and you know what? Every AI realizing that it's smarter than the people story, they're all Pinocchio stories in some way. Like they're all kind of.
And that's the idea.
That.
We all want to, as humans, we want to think that the robots would want to be like us. And that's the ultimate homage in this film, to think that they would consider our lives being genius, that they would look up to their creators.
Yeah.
And so that's a common theme.
I find that my biggest complaints about the movie are kind of dumb, but they also just annoy me. And it's, for example, they're at the Flesh Fair. That should be a down and dirty, gladiatorial, awful place. They've got this screamo, well, kind of grunge music playing. Who's that band? It's actually somebody big. I forgot who it was.
Ministry,
yeah, that's who it is.
Ministry?
Yeah. So they're up there.
In the closed caption said indistinct screaming or something like that.
Did you have it on? Okay.
they didn't know what lyrics were saying.
Yeah. It's a cool visual. It matches real well. But all the lights and the fire and the stuff and the idea that they junk all these robots and then scrap them together because, you know, we got to kill robots for people's enjoyment, and the idea of what that is, a psychological thing for people that should be filled with the worst of society, not kids and families. I didn't buy the little girl walking around going, oh, look, a bear, or the other two kids, hey, is this your bear? No, that's not our bear. Like, what are you even doing there? Where are your freaking parents? Like,
poor,
that needed to be
Teddy.
Mad that needed to be more like all Mad Max, like go all the way about this part of society is just shitty and dirty and awful. It's not a place where it's not like going
know.
To
I mean,
Disneyland.
It feels like it was, you know, it's like a monster truck rally. The parents who go
there
to this
go.
Thing have bad enough judgment that they're going to bring their kids.
I guess
right.
so.
I think it was, it's reflective of society, and not only our society, many societies. Everybody who was there was working people, and working people have to stomp on any foreigners or robots who are taking their jobs. They're taking our jobs. And it's like a little bit of payback.
And I really don't want to beat a dead horse, but you're not supposed to overthink this. This is out in the woods, right? Like, it's ridiculous. Like everything about it, you know, but if you don't overthink it, it's like Mad Max, you know, like it's crazy. People are bloodthirsty or coolant thirsty or I don't know, like lubrication thirsty. I don't know what they are, but it's just like you don't overthink it and then you get to enjoy it. But the minute you overthink even a little bit, wait a minute, that's a balloon. How do they steer it? How do they make it go exactly where they want? No, don't do that to yourself or you can't enjoy this movie at all.
Yeah.
And that's a throwback to Kubrick, because that's how it was, you know, it's just like, have a good time. By the way, I'm super excited about Dr. Sleep.
I am too.
I feel like that's either a great idea or the worst idea ever. I can't tell.
It's amazing
to do a sequel to the freaking Shining is a weird thing.
Well, I mean,
to
the
do.
Book was already the book already existed, so it's not like they just made a film for it.
Oh, is there? I didn't know there was.
Oh, I love the book.
Dr. Sleep book. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I'm a giant King fan. How did I not know about this book? That's insane.
The book is so good. You should get the book.
Everything I knew was a lie. I had no idea that book existed.
But it's funny because I was watching it, and I have a feeling that Stephen King was a much bigger part of this more recent one that's coming out. But they also, in the advertising, they did a lot of homage to the Kubrick version, which Stephen King has famously disliked. I'm not sure if he's changed his mind or something.
Well, he doesn't get to choose. That's the.
Well, I think at this point in his career, I think he kind of gets more choices.
Yeah, he might, but he's not legal choice. Like the studio owns the property; they can do whatever they want. I mean, hopefully, they would want to work with him. But right. I think he can't even, I mean, how could, if you're Stephen King, how can you deny the lasting visual yeah. and otherwise impact of the first of that movie? You can't deny
totally.
It. Like, yep. he may have at the time was like, I got all Richard Bachman on everybody, but I think now he's probably opened up to it more.
Yeah, and they capture that the feel of the original movie in this. I mean, obviously yes. they're showing clips from part of it, but no, I mean the music, all of that stuff feels like, all right, this is going to be really, really good.
I couldn't tell if those were clips or recreations. That was hard for me to tell. I wasn't sure.
Well, the clips of little Danny Lloyd running around, I think, had to be clips because. Yeah.
Were they? Because it was always in the back of his head, and he was on the tricycle thing in the back of his head. I don't know if that's
right. And see, that's I think that's actually probably going to be in the film. In the story, there's a lot of reflection about that time at the hotel, and he actually revisits the hotel, and they show that in the clips.
Yeah, he goes to the door where his dad put a hole in it with an axe and said, "Here's Johnny." That's amazing. Yeah. All that stuff. That also looked like a new angle and shot of the lady in the tub. So I think they recreated a bunch of that.
All right. Well, I mean, they did it for Ready Player One, so they certainly can do it here.
Oh, thanks, Steven Spielberg.
Right. I forgot they did that. Yeah, that was good. That was the best part of that movie, actually.
It really was, yeah.
Otherwise, that thing was a little
empty. Well, while we're getting back to Spielberg, let me just say, it has been my opinion for a while. I blame this movie for my dislike of Minority Report, because I really feel like this movie broke Spielberg, and he was trying to reconstruct himself during that time when he did Minority Report. And
Minority Report came after this, right? It was the next thing.
Yeah. I really did blame this movie for that because Spielberg was trying to change who he was, and
but,
I was like, don't
but
do
see,
that.
But look, you're an insane person because that movie is good. That's a good movie.
I'm absolutely sane. And I didn't say the movie wasn't good. It's just not.
Minority Report, which we've certainly had our time with here on this show. Yeah. It depends on your opinion of that film. I think it's one of his best, and therefore, I would see AI as a nice little lead into that. Like, I wouldn't have any problem with it at all.
I'm starting to broadly put Spielberg films into sort of like, I would watch it again, or I don't ever want to have to watch this again. And like E.T. goes in that second category. But like, I would actually say Minority Report was a little better than AI for me. Like overall, it's a little more of a complete story from beginning to end that actually takes me somewhere that I care to go.
Yeah.
You know, whereas AI is just kind of this pastiche of different looks at things in the future. And it's a future that I don't imagine is really that realistic. So I don't need to watch it again.
So one thing I noticed for sure is that William Hurt, you can say a lot of things about William Hurt, but the one thing that we need to say about him from now on is you are terrible at keeping track of your robots, dude.
And you're terrible at keeping track of you in the movie. The last thing he said, I'm going to go gather the guys together and then like, see ya.
Yeah. And then say, you just sit up on the roof and hang out and don't jump in the water or anything. That would be bad.
No, I think we can easily say he's our developer in the bucket.
Developer in the bucket.
He's a hurt in the bucket. Yeah.
Hurt in the bucket.
Hurt in the bucket. But it's for real. Like he leaves and just leaves the kid. I mean, you already know he's all jacked up on staring at a, sorry, we hadn't stared at the thing yet. See, this is the other thing I do in this movie. I mix the scenes up. I get the orders wrong.
Yeah.
Because in my head, the final scene, I don't know why this is, but in my head, from my theater watching, I thought the final scene was the thing with the big cartoon head and the Dr. No stuff. I thought that was the very final thing.
Oh, wow.
It's not even close to the final thing.
No.
It's
like, no. You had a ways to go, my friend.
I did.
Have you noticed that William Hurt tends to play someone who has... who's supposed to have a significant amount of power but doesn't actually do anything with it? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
That's like in so many movies. As you just look through his list, like and especially like Thaddeus Ross in the Avengers movies. Man, Secretary of State, huh? That's the second most powerful person in the administration. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
like the William entire Hurt. Time. Why is he in Avengers? He doesn't do anything.
He's right. Because
William Hurt is a cartoon character in this. I mean. To me, it's like when you're watching Bugs Bunny cartoon and you're like, why would that character just put themselves on pause while your other character did something crazy? And that's kind of what William Hurt does. He just kind of gets put on pause a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like,
for the movie, really.
Yeah. Can we talk about this one thing that really took me out? Like you just brought up other people doing things that are unexpected and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why Monica activates the love of the robot. It happens really suddenly to me. Yeah. Like
desperation, right?
I know you're supposed to be seeing her take an interest in the kid. And then decide to go all the way, but I didn't feel like that comes across. I actually felt like she was annoyed as hell, and it was a surprise to me that she's suddenly activating his love.
Well, right. Wasn't there a pivotal thing right before that though that kind of made you go
the burst out laughing? She was just trying to move on.
I think she just wanted to lock it in. She was like, "All right, well, right now we kind of have a weird thing that it hasn't bonded with us yet, but maybe we just go all the way and be done with this."
That was the inciting action, right? Is that where we went?
By the way, the bonding must not be that well programmed if the very first person to ever bond with it can just go leave it in the woods later.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was such a pointless act when we eventually found out. Now, she thought that they were going to destroy him, but obviously William Hurt had such a love for this unique creature that he was definitely not going to destroy it.
Well, I hadn't thought of that. You return the kid that's based on your own kid, and there's only one.
Would have been a lot shorter story.
Plus, there was only one out there, right?
He would have just brought it back and probably had it in his office collection with the other one.
Yeah,
right. In his big Buzz Lightyear toy boxes.
Yeah. Other one that was in his office that he hit the face and broke the face off of. That one was a little shit. That David didn't like him at all. Yeah. He was a weenie. No
kidding. So is it? Yeah, I guess that answers the question. Is it genes or is it the raising? Apparently, it's the raising.
I think it's the raising.
It's the programming.
Yeah, it takes a village or something. So here's some interesting trivia. Kubrick, we mentioned earlier, worked on this thing for 2 decades. But along the way, he decided to ask Spielberg to direct, saying it was closer to his sensibilities. The two collaborated for several years, resulting in Kubrick giving Spielberg a complete story treatment and lots of conceptual art for the movie prior to his death. That feels to me like a lot of people want to say Spielberg came in here and robbed the movie of the Kubrickiness. That sounds to me like a guy who's like, "Yeah, I can't finish this. You take it. Thanks for taking it." Like that, it doesn't feel like a nefarious or not doing well with his stewardship or anything like that. He just, you know, he took the job. It says here, contrary to popular belief, Spielberg claims that he introduced many of the darker elements into the story, while Kubrick's main contribution consisted mostly of the sweeter parts. In a 2002 interview with movie critic Joe Layden, Spielberg said that the middle part of the movie, including the flesh fair, was his idea, whereas the first 40 minutes, the teddy bear and all of that, were right out of Kubrick's script. Ian Watson.
So who thought of Gigolo Joe? That was...
It doesn't say here, but...
We want to know who put the porn bot into the movie. Right.
That's got to be Kubrick, I would assume.
You would think so, right?
I don't think so. Spielberg is like, you know what I really want to have in my movie is a prostitute robot.
Hard to say. I don't know. It's like, because of this, it made me question all of it. Like, maybe the source for all this stuff is in different places. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Haley Joel Osment's dad was in there. His actual father's in this movie. Him and Agent Coulson are the ones that are fixing him after he eats too much spinach.
Oh, yeah.
And that's his actual father.
That actually took me out of the movie when they were doing the whole eating spinach thing. Because I'm like, surely if you were creating an AI unit that had a hole that something could go down, surely you would have like a bag in there or something to catch
totally
that.
Some sort of thing to keep anything that goes in his mouth from like completely wrecking the system. Yeah,
you'd think so. I liked it though because it. I don't know. I liked what it showed. I liked this conflict with Martin, that little shitbag Martin.
And the whole melting the face when it's, you know, when the spinach is like affecting his video card. that was a great effect.
Yeah. It was burning his GPU out when that was happening.
I made
a GIF of that and it's haunting even in GIF form.
It's creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally
creepy.
It's one of those things you have to put to the side. Like Randy's been saying, you had to check your brain at the door because, you know, we've all seen the Nazi face melting with Indiana Jones. I mean, we know that's not how that works, but it's very visually effective.
Sure.
Speaking while we're talking through all the different actors in this film, who played the robot girl in the beginning of the movie, the very beginning, the first time you see a face open up? Who was that?
Oh, the actress?
I don't know, but it, boy, how long did he teach that class before he finally revealed that that the student's been a robot? Dude, I've been hitting on that robot this whole
right?
Thank God I didn't. Thank God I didn't touch her soft palate.
Right.
Because that would have freaked me out.
Yeah, no kidding. If you're making out with her and you accidentally, you know, push the top part, your whole face opens
up. What is this in your mouth?
So anyway, I would like to know who played that character. I don't know what the character's name was, but I thought it was Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, she looked like Anna Kendrick.
Oh, no. Anna Kendrick.
It's not
Look
her.
At that. There she is. And but then I looked her up, and I'm like, no, she would have been like 14 when they were making this movie. That can't be right.
I think a lot of these secondary, Sabrina Grdurovich, right?
Grdurovich.
Okay.
Because he called her Sheila, which is a... Which is a generalized woman term, right?
That's also what Australians call their robot sex workers.
Look at her though; she's like an older Anna Kendrick. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
really kind of, it was. I was convinced it was Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, she's got. She works. She got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, she works.
A lot of episodes of that Kim's Convenience TV show that is all the rage right now.
Yeah, she's in. I gotta see that. Everyone says I need to watch that.
We had a hard time getting past the first couple episodes. It felt, and I'm hoping it gets better, but we decided, let's move on to something else because this isn't grabbing either of us.
Really? That surprises me. Who is the, I mean, it felt like 50 people were telling us to watch that. I don't know what that
is. I know. I think even Nicole used it as a recommendal.
Just not the Ibbot way or something.
Didn't grab us. Even though it's poking fun at racism, it still felt very, exploitative towards Asian people. Like, the people that you're supposed to care about are very stereotypical Asian people, and I think that took us out, or not took us out of it, but that weirded us out.
Speaking of weirding people out, you guys notice they left the Trade Center towers in?
The movie was completed before that event. Like, the movie was completed and in theaters before 9/11.
Yeah, so, but they usually you'll do like a DVD fix, and he chose not to.
Retcon.
Yeah, he learned his lesson. Learned his lesson a long time ago.
He replaced it with walkie-talkies. Yeah, big giant
walkie-talkies sticking out of the ice.
You want to replace that, Spielberg? Nope.
Yeah, he left him in there. No. But it was, I got to say something about that. All that. I love destroyed, water-covered, and then eventually frozen over. That all that stuff is so much.
Yeah, were you part expecting to see Kevin Costner swimming around underwater there with his little breather as sitting under,
or a couple of packs of frozen zombie vampires from I Am Legend or something.
Yeah, like the Wonder Wheel.
Like, yeah,
that's what this movie needed. Another ending. That'd be great.
It was no more endings. But I do love that look and that idea, and also the idea that even though, I mean, this is actually kind of, if you start thinking about it too much, it kind of breaks the movie a little bit, but this isn't that far. Like, them hopping in that helicopter and going out to Manhattan is not that big a deal. It's not like people don't go there. It's not a mystical city that no one's seen, the great lost city. People are not only have seen it, I saw two boats floating out there, and when they get there, they find out that the robot or William Hurt's office is still up in the top floor of that place. So
what a strange commute he must have. Like, does he have to fly to his office every day or take a long boat ride or what? I mean, it seems like, I don't know, I'd maybe get an office in the city where I could drive to work in my non-driverless car.
But I love that. I just love that, to play in that space. I love it. I wish there was more there. I wish it was more.
Based on a short story, and I really wish the short story was longer, because I'm with you. The world building to me was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more. That's when I was at my happiest during this film, was when they would get into that, or the city that was like Vegas but not Vegas. What was it called? Rogue City, or what was it?
Right, yeah, Rogue City.
Whatever it was.
The biggest problem I have with this film, believe it or not, is the title. Because I don't really feel like it's really approached in the film. I mean, there is artificial intelligence in this, but I don't feel like it really reflects anything.
I think you just call it David.
Of the essence of the...
It should have been called David.
Well, the problem... The problem is that we know so much more about artificial intelligence these days. But back then, it was just such a buzzwordy, ooh, artificial intelligence. That's so futuristic. And
we did good with E.T., so let's do this again.
Does it make you wonder if Spielberg wanted to call Ready Player One like NPC, non-player character?
Exactly.
It needs to be two letters. It should have been PK.
Yeah, PK.
That's what it should have been.
I really want... I want to watch Ex Machina again. Like, that's what I came away with.
It's on Netflix right now, as a matter of fact. The thing that was suggested to watch next.
And I do prefer a darker take. I prefer a less happy, I don't know, it's not really a happy ending. They've confirmed
there was nothing happy.
I mean, he dies when he closes his eyes, which, by the way, he never does in the entire film. No blinking, not once.
I'm
going to need AI too, because he said he did something that he'd never done before, which was to dream. And you really don't
According to Spielberg, who let it drop in an interview, and also John Williams somehow said it once, they said, yeah, he's dead. That's him dying.
Okay. Let it drop.
They were not that clear for me in the film.
Right. They weren't at all.
More clarity. But since the director has said that's what happened, then that's what happened.
Now, translucent, made out of glass looking freaking what's his name? Penn Kingsley, because that's his voice doing the narration and stuff.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I could listen to him read a phone book. That guy's great. And for someone who usually, when science fiction movies have narration in it, I usually kind of bristle at that because it sometimes makes it worse and they're trying to over-explain things. I could listen to that guy narrate anything. So, thumbs up for the Ben Kingsley reunion with Spielberg all these years after Schindler's List or whatever it was they did last. Anyway, so check this out. There was a penis in Rogue City, or Rouge City.
Was there
buildings
that opened into vaginas.
Yeah, I was going to say vagina buildings.
Yeah, vagina buildings were there. They were all mostly implied. But the PG-13 rating had to be maintained, so they removed the big penis building digitally before release to theater. So we'll never know what that looked like.
I wonder how hard that was.
I found it interesting that mostly they were saying that women needed the sex robots. It seemed like there were more implications that it was in that way for some reason. I don't know if it was just because we were with the Jew.
Would you want to put any part of your body into a Cuisinart, Brian Dunaway?
I mean,
maybe not. No. Definitely not.
I think they were just focusing on that as a part of the sex trade as the robots came to commonality. Right. I think that the buildings alone were enough to tell you that they're not all like the place he was in. There's a bunch of ones that are tracking dudes in there. So I think it's both ways.
And maybe PG-13 lends itself more towards women sexual fantasies versus the men's, which would just be a dirty.
Really,
dirty,
what? How much? Dirty, how much do guys really need?
Like,
do we need? Do we need a whole like robot it woman? Is. Or do we just need like a couple of couch cushions and some KY?
It is just like a Saturday night at Emmett's house. Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
It's strange that Spielberg would remove something from the film after he'd gone to the trouble of erecting it. But I don't think he is the like natural children's director that we often like. Sure, like he made the BFG and he made like the Fievel movies or whatever. But I think he's like a guy, like a grown man who is capable of. Producing an R-rated film,
And he's had plenty of examples of that. Absolutely. He's just not one to make. He's not this kind of this his, particular his, kind of content is unusual for him.
Yeah, his R rating is going to come from potential violence or blood or language. Right. It's not going to come from giant penises and
just not what he's known for.
Boob cities. By the way, the when Joe hitches a ride with those dudes over to Rogue City, did you recognize the dude on the left, bottom left?
I was trying to place those characters. Who was it?
That is Adrian, I think it's Greiner from Entourage. He's the main.
I never saw that show. Never saw that thing.
It's probably not worth going back and watching it now.
Right?
Was it kind of you're saying. It was one of those shows where if you were watching it every week, you were having a good time. It was very watercooler or whatever. But
it,
not
you know, after a while, it's like, okay, really? I guess it really is the same thing. Dude has friends who are kind of hitching a ride on his success. It's an excuse for HBO to show a lot of boobs and a lot of sex. And really, each season is kind of the cycle. Oh, is somebody getting drunk too much? Is somebody on drugs?
Mm-hmm. One of the people, the other people in that van was DJ from Roseanne.
Oh, was it really?
Maybe that's who I recognize.
Shut up, really?
That seems more like it.
All right.
Now, there was one cameo that you probably either loved or hated, and it's going to be Chris Rock.
When he was
Mecca. Hated it? Okay.
It was dumb.
I actually liked it.
No,
I think
dumb.
I remembered hating it, but I liked it this time.
It was supposed to be Seinfeld. He wouldn't do it. At last minute,
really?
Backed out. Yeah. He was going to do it. They were going to do a Seinfeld robot.
What is the deal with getting fired from a cannon?
And look, I've mixed feelings about that entire scene because I think that was bad and way too cameo-y and kind of just too on the nose. But all the other weird robots, the butler, the ancient 75-year-old one that looked like video screen.
Please turn off my pain reception.
That stuff's cool, man. That stuff is so cool. I was into all that visual stuff. That was really neat.
I could have lived there a lot longer. I would have loved to have seen a longer scene of them trying to collect body parts and to reassemble themselves. I like that whole clan. I would have liked to have known more about that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was super. The lady who played the nanny bot, she was like, wow, super clingy. I was like, wow, that is way creepy.
Because she's a nanny. So that's her programming. She just knows that there's a
to
child.
Be creepy?
No, there's a child. She needs to do all the nanny things for the child.
I get where Spielberg was going with, but seeing that disconnect of not being worried about being boiled, that constant smile on her face, like everything's okay.
That's
it's
the
good.
Idea.
It's
that's
all good.
That's the beauty of that scene. Is it's creepy as crap. It's very effective.
Yeah.
I totally agree. So this is a pretty Oscar thick movie. You got cast members who include Robin Williams, Sir Ben Kingsley, Meryl Streep. Who did she play?
Meryl Streep. She was Blue Mecca.
Wait.
Blue Mecca.
Hold on. Blue Mecca. Was she really? Hold on.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. So she was the Blue Fairy.
The voice of the blue fairy.
Yeah.
Well, he's Blue Mecca. She wasn't really a mecca. She was just like a.
Well, that's how she's listed in the credits.
Oh, blue she's mecca. Listed as Blue Mecca. Wow, I hate the word mecca. It sounds like a Japanese.
I do.
Thing.
Too.
Mecca versus orga. Orga organic. Mecca orga. Mechanical. Mecca orga.
Mecca right. orga.
DOS. Damage avoidance system.
Right. Exactly.
I forgot she was in this. But anyway, you had William Hurt. And then you had two, those are people who have all won Oscars. And then you have Oscar nominees, Haley Joel Osment and Jude Law.
Has
Brendan Gleeson never been nominated for an Oscar?
It's a crime.
That's a huge oversight.
No, it's a crime, dude. He's so good.
Yeah, for sure.
My gosh, that guy. I mean,
Moody.
He's so good. Oh, anytime I can recommend In Bruges, I do it because it's one of the best movies people have never seen. It's Colin Farrell in a way you'll love him.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you really appreciate Colin Farrell as more than just a, hey, let's put somebody really pretty in our movie.
Yep. And those two work together. So that is a fantastic freaking movie. It's dark but funny, and I just love it. So good. Anyway.
You know what else I loved in this film? It's going to be Frances O'Connor.
Oh, as the mom, as Monica?
Yeah, I thought she did. I loved her performance.
It's the hardest role in the film. Like, I appreciate that some people are playing robots and that's difficult, right? Jude Law does a great job with a very difficult role. Great. But Monica is the hardest character to play in the film because she is our human representative. She is what we are supposed to sympathize with and experience all of this weird future through.
Yeah.
And she just nails it. I mean, she's perfect.
Mm-hmm. She's really good. Mm-hmm. I like her a lot in a lot of things, but she's in another film sack movie. She was bad in Timeline, yeah. That was a bad movie.
Everybody was bad in Timeline.
Yeah.
For a little while, so we were house-sitting for The Crazy Neighbors, and for a little while we had to watch the film, or for the middle section of the film, pretty much all of the Monica stuff we were watching at their house. Now, they bought their TV, set it up, and have had it on whatever that is, motion blur, the thing that makes it look like it's a soap opera
effect.
Yes.
Yeah, soap opera effect.
And I'm afraid that if I were to change it while they're out of town, that they'd know when they come back and they'd be like, what did you do to our TV? Why does everything have to look like a movie? But because also crazy, Mrs. Crazy Neighbor watches soap opera or watches Days of Our Lives on there.
Oh, so that's funny.
But man, when you watch that with that whole Monica and David section, when you watch it as a with the soap opera style video on, it feels very soap opera because it's like, oh, she's coming in from the kitchen and he surprises her while she's carrying the laundry in and she screams and it's like, oh my god, this feels so, it feels so bad when you see it with that style.
Made me laugh when she on the shitter though. That was pretty funny.
Oh, that was hilarious. I'll tell you, I came in this movie, I've seen it at least three or four times. And when I say I've seen it, it's a very different experience watching AI casually and then watching it critically, because critically this movie moved up a lot of bars for me. Whereas casually I'm like, I can't stay that engaged with this film because there are spots where it's just so much just watching long shots of nothing really happening. And it's really sometimes hard to get engaged.
Yeah.
But this movie has really went up in my opinion.
Yeah. We're hearing this from people who are watching it before the film sack. Cause you know, we always hear from somebody on Twitter is like, oh cool, this is my homework this week. And I'll watch it. And they've come back saying, yeah, I like this a lot better than I thought I did. And I think that's good. It's got its problems. Those cars are stupid.
Oh, yeah.
The phones are stupid.
I like the cars.
This is like not as forward thinking as his very next film would be, which is The Great Minority Report.
Oh my God. That's when it all fell apart.
But you have to at least give that movie credit outside of the wooden ball, although they have a reason for those.
You know, there was,
balls,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Look, like I've said before, my dislike for Minority Report, I do not expect anyone else to dislike it.
Yeah.
You are perfectly fine thinking this is a good movie and it may fit your movie watching needs. It does not for me. There's things in there that break it for me. It's not a bad movie. It's just, I don't.
It's
enjoy
too
it.
Rainy and it means something.
It's too much water, too much water symbolism.
It doesn't click with my brain. I like symbolism and I like for it to mean something. And if you don't need that, then knock yourself out.
Hey.
I'm sure you'll love it. It's a good ride.
I like puke sticks. Those are cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Puke sticks. Yeah, I mean, and how eyeballs work and eye scanners, all that stuff is perfectly valid. Yeah, wooden roller balls, that makes sense. Let's put this on this Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah.
I'm getting off topic. Yeah. Let's get back.
Yeah.
I want to grant you this one thing, and that is if you have Tom Cruise in a movie, it's a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
True story.
And
true story.
AI doesn't suffer from that at all. Like, there's a little bit of Jude Lawing it up, but it's not, it doesn't like cover the whole film where you're just like, ooh, this is a this is just exactly like Gattaca or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Tom Cruise has a way of drawing your attention to Tom Cruise acting as Tom Cruise does.
Yeah.
This movie AI doesn't like it just feels so much more like that could have been anybody. Like all the actors did their jobs in a way that you could have you don't think, oh, Haley Joel Osment. I'm looking at Haley Joel Osment. You just don't think that.
No, it's a good movie for the subject matter is the star. That's the leading role, sort of.
Yeah.
It's not really a person or people, which I think is a good point. Sorry, you've done away.
Do you remember when Jude Law was in everything?
Yeah.
for that time in the late 90s, early 2000s? And man, he's another actor that I really liked, but I wonder if we just got so much Jude Law so suddenly that he kind of had to take a break.
Well, he's still in a ton of shit. He's in that new Pope show on HBO. He's in
the new Pope show.
That new Sherlock Holmes 3 movies in post-production. That thing's happening. Captain Marvel.
I never would have guessed that was going to happen.
He was the villain in Captain Marvel.
Oh, all right. Well, he was right. He was okay. Captain Marvel. I saw in Fantastic Beasts, the sequel. He was Dumbledore. But boy, it sure tapered off there for a little while.
Yeah, it did. Maybe. He was in Sky Captain World Tomorrow, which we
I know. I look at that still like on his IMDb page as one of the featured things. Oh,
I'm looking at his career. Pretty consistent. I mean, it's
pretty
consistent,
but not as big like Captain Marvel and the Sherlock Holmes movies are big, but stuff before that, like stuff, you know, mid 2010s, a lot less of the big budget blockbusters like he was in the late 90s and early 2000s.
That's a good point. You got things like The Roof.
You know what was like
Toast
right
of
before
London.
This movie, AI?
What?
You know what was right before that?
What?
Extends. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Existence.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Existence.
You keep wanting to call it the penis enhancement film.
Because that's what it was.
I don't blame
you. He had that vagina remote. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that big old...
That was the thing, sure.
I mean, this episode of Film Sack, we're going to talk about penises. Like, I'm sorry, I should have said this an hour ago. We're going to talk about penises.
Yeah, they're going to come up because penises are cool. Hey, how about that scene where
they're going to come up.
When that,
oh, my God.
When that lady died and he was supposed to be, she was his client, and he was going to go see her, and he's like whispering her ear, and he thinks it's a tear, but it's blood and all that. The guy that shows up that did the murder, that's the dude who's like, yes, we're so happy.
Yes.
Oh, Rico. Really?
I love that guy. Freaking love that guy. He's great.
I was wondering, wow, he looked familiar, but I did not recognize him as that's crazy.
He's also the dad on, what's that show with the Good Place chick, her show that she was famous for. She was a high school.
Yes.
Veronica Mars.
Christian Bell.
It's Veronica Mars, right?
Veronica Mars. Yes.
Yeah.
He was the dad. Mathazar is who Scott is talking about from Galaxy Quest.
We are so happy to have you helping us to solve the mystery of that. He was just amazing in Galaxy Quest. He's so good. Anyway, just something I noticed while we were watching that.
Yeah.
You did good.
Let's see. I wrote
IMDb winner of the week.
Oh, yeah. Who's got the best?
For some reason, for me, Kurt Youngberg's thumbnail looks weirder than the actual picture. But if you can scroll down.
Youngberg.
He was looking a kid. And the thumbnail looks really, it's freaking me out. He looks like an AI.
No, he's fine.
Then when you click on it, it's not as bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad. Let's see.
It's important to point out that this person, Kurt Youngberg, is now like something like 33 years old.
Yeah.
And his picture is of him when he was like 16.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's time to update your picture. Are you maybe you're not an actor. That's fine. You just leave it there.
That's it. And it looks pixelated, but then are those freckles or is that?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think his face is pixelated with freckles.
No criticism towards him. It's the picture.
Also, Frances O'Connor's got a terrible one. I don't even know if that's her in that show.
Oh, that was my choice because it's mainly a picture of someone else's back.
Yeah.
Seriously, the Francis O'Connor picture is mainly a picture of Moses.
Moses is back, King Lear.
Caesar,
something like that.
Is it Caesar?
She's been around for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But Jake Thomas, who played Martin, played the kid Martin. He looks like the same kid. Just someone smushed some fake beard on him. He looks like the exact same kid.
That's the thing about casting. I was surprised we didn't bring it up, but that's the thing about casting kids in films. Generally, when they grow up, they continue to have that young face because usually what you do is you cast somebody for like a 9-year-old, you cast like a 13-year-old who looks like a 9-year-old because you want that life experience there so they can perform. And so usually you pick somebody with a young face and that face when they grow up remains young looking.
Yeah.
So,
well, Haley Joel Osment's a good example of that. I just saw him in that, what's it called? Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, the Ted Bundy movie on Netflix.
Right.
He was fantastic on that. Really good. And he's old and fat and has a beard.
Like, that beard.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah,
that is a heck of a beard. Speaking of people who look like they have a big beard glued on their face, he looks like young Haley Joel Osment with a big millennial beard glued onto his face.
I think he's all right. He's fine.
I know. I have no complaints. He's great.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people want to go and throw him under the bridge because he's weird looking now because it doesn't compare to when he was a kid and he was all that. But
I like the idea of throwing him under a bridge. I don't think I've heard it.
Did I say throw him under the bridge? I meant what did we usually say?
Under a bus.
I want to throw him under a bridge because he's a troll.
I don't know why I had that in my head. Oh, and the other thing I hated in theaters but actually really liked this time was the teddy bear. And I think he's great. I think it giving him a normal old voice that was always just the voice of warning, like the little conscience he took with him.
Yeah.
really worked for me, and it didn't come off as maudlin or too cutesy. It was just David.
It also could have been terrifying, and it didn't come off as terrifying either.
Yeah,
I felt so bad for Teddy because he was just along for the ride. As a matter of fact, he was just at home, and and Monica is supposed to take David to the to the nowhere place, and she did. Now talk about throwing Smiley on the bus. Monica just kind of totally throws Teddy on the bus. We're gonna send Teddy with you too, and Teddy's like, no.
Yeah, no, I know Teddy what's got going screwed.
On. I don't want to go.
Well, that's why, because Teddy would have been the conscience. He would have kept her. Teddy would have been around, always reminding the mother of what she did. Like, Teddy's great. Teddy is an important part of this movie.
The voice actor who does that, his name is Jack Angel. He's done some Smurfs, and he's also done World of Warcraft, Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah, he's still working. That guy's cool.
He's still working.
Older guy,
he's good.
He's been in tons of stuff. Old, early 90s, late 80s cartoons, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's really good. Now, did everyone else laugh their heads off when the pen porn happened and that those kids were so into it because the pen made it land on his junk and he's like, sweet.
That was so creepy.
So dumb, dude. That was dumb.
The pen porn?
The pen porn. That Joe was shooting out of the end of his little pen. He had that hologram.
Princess
Leia. Yes. And you're like, you're my only hope.
I'll point that right to your crotch. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And they're like, get in. I'm like, really? That's the most access you have to anything. This is like,
we're on our way to a Porky's movie in the future.
Yeah. So that's going to end up being like more like augmented reality, right? So you can enjoy so you can have fun with other people's expenses.
I don't know. Augmented reality has the potential of becoming pretty twisted. What you could do with it out in the world, and
maybe Steven Spielberg will make AG, and then we can.
Or I was gonna say AR.
That.
AR.
Yeah.
AR.
Oh yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Movie. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Wait, what's AG? AG.
AR.
Oh, you said AG before. What is that?
I did. I meant AR.
He meant augmented reality.
But it would have to split. It has to be the initialism and then the definition. So it needs to be AR, the augmented reality.
Augmented groin is what that stands for. But yeah, that was dumb, and I laughed out loud, and I kind of hate that, and I wish they wouldn't have put that in there, but that's fine. I don't have that many complaints about it. And honestly, just having Ben Kingsley say words was enough. I didn't realize it was him at the top as well. He was narrating the very beginning. And then
which fascinated me, because it felt right in the beginning, because it's like, oh, we got an omniscient character who's explaining stuff, but he saw everything. Yeah. This character saw everything. So who is he?
Yeah, he was he had an omnipotent point of view.
Omnipotent.
And the way he talked, it was very much in like an old school kind of storytelling.
It sounded like
technique.
Anthony Hopkins at times.
Yeah, yeah, a
little
bit.
I thought it was. But
the language of it, the prose of it was very like, I don't know what to compare it to. It's like telling an old tale in a book. I don't know, it's very bookish, and I liked it. I thought that was a cool pick. To have that, and I normally, like I say, I don't usually like that in my science fiction, but I don't know, that was pretty cool. All right, I have clips, and I have a lot of them. Would you like to hear them?
Oh my,
yes.
Please.
This movie is so quiet at times that it really isolates the dialogue.
Well, let's find out how it all sounds with this, where we talk about babies.
Hundreds of millions of people starved in poorer countries. Elsewhere, a high degree of prosperity survived when most governments in the developed world introduced legal sanctions to strictly licensed pregnancies. Which was
why sure that's
robots,
not Anthony Hopkins?
Nope.
Who were never hungry and who did not consume resources beyond those of their first manufacture were so essential an economic link in the chainmail of society.
It's totally not Anthony Hopkins. But you're right, they've got the same accent.
There are times that it sounds like him, and
probably the same.
So why not Morgan Freeman? I mean, we used it for War of the Worlds, right?
Yeah, why
this
not?
This is when David finally realized that he could dream.
He came through 2,000 years of frozen shit and came out clean on the other side.
I'd like to tell you that William Hurt came back, but he never did.
I'd like to tell you that.
I'd like to tell you that. That was the last time we saw William Hurt.
Oh, my Lord. They missed an opportunity. All right. Here's a... what's this? Oh, something with the hand.
How did that make you feel? Angry? Shocked?
I don't understand.
What did I do to your feelings?
You did it to my hand.
You did it to my hand. Great. Let's see. I love you. Don't kill me.
I love you. Don't kill me.
Oh, that was the dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I catch a robot. Don't kill me. I say that anytime I bring home, like anytime Amazon drops off a box of tech.
Yeah.
I say that to Tina. Like, all right. I love you. Don't kill me.
Don't kill me.
By the way, just got an Amazon Echo show.
Yeah.
Speaking of robots killing people, boy, it's easy in the future to frame a mecha for your murder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's ludicrously. Mecha just comes bounding in. Hi. Yeah. Oh, I got a little blood on my finger. Now I'm guilty. You know, like, wow.
Yeah, no, they went all. Like they, the that made me. I like that because they didn't detail it too much, but I like the idea that society could just shove so much of its problems onto and just basically just put all of it on robots. You know,
yeah, second class citizens, dehumanization. I mean, those were some interesting.
And when they left him in the pool, like when he's in the pool and the kid, they get him out and the other kid's okay, Martin's okay now, and he's at the bottom of the pool, they just leave him there. And that's a sign of, well, he's this machine and who cares? He's not going to die.
And I needed, and as long as this movie was, I was really wishing they would explain what happened. Did he just come to the surface himself? Did they actually come and get him? Oh. Next thing we know, he's just sitting at the table. He's got a robe on. It's all good.
I would have loved for him to fall into the pool and then be floating awkwardly up on the surface. That that would have been more interesting to me. Him just sinking to the bottom, it's like visually stunning, but like remember Data floating in one of the Star Trek movies?
Yeah.
Right.
Where he like is floating from the waist up, like that would have been really cool in this.
Because Data could control it. It was in it was the one with the weird stretchy faces. What was that called?
Nemesis? No, Nemesis. That, before Nemesis.
Yeah, it was a frick.
Star Trek stretchy faces. And anyway, like this, it's one of those things. Like you can't help wondering all the time with this movie, why is David like this? Like, you just constantly ask that question. Why is he like this? Well, why didn't he learn to swim? Doesn't he know whether or not he's going to react to pain?
They went out of their way to explain that older models rule anything other than David was magnetically, you know, were like iron and magnetic material that could be magnetized. And that's how they pulled Jude Law out of the helicopter, because he's made of whatever metal. Mm. But the kid wasn't. So on the one hand, they're like, well, he'd sink to the bottom of the pool because he's a robot. But then on the other hand, they went to the great lengths to explain that this is new. This is like a new model, new material, space age stuff that's not going to sink or be, you know, affected by magnetism. They were a little loose with those rules, I think, which was kind of a bummer. But I do like the idea that Jude Law's got stuff in him. I assume his wiener, probably. But he's got stuff.
It's magnetic.
Yeah, he's got magnetic stuff in him, and the boy doesn't. All right. One of the first things out of Haley Joel's mouth was this.
I like your floor.
It's like the very first thing he says. Oh, how much she likes the floor.
Cool.
May have been the first thing he said, actually. I think that may have been it.
Right. It was the first thing he said.
If you like it so much, clean the damn thing.
Exactly. Here's a Swiffer.
Here she is pooping.
And close the goddamn door!
All right. You're a nice mom. Nice mom. Terrible laughing. I really don't like this part, but I understand its use. I get why it's used, but I don't think they did a great job. But here it is. It's just not good.
Yeah, no, Haley Joel Osment's little robot starts making that laugh. I'm like, oh, go. Leave the room. I'm not going to laugh along with them. I'm going to be like, honey, is that the most disturbing thing you've ever seen in your life?
We've made a mistake.
You can take that clip, make it sound like they're at a distance from you, and add some other jungle sounds, and that's hyenas at night.
I hate it. I really don't like that part. Okay. So I found this clip wasn't explicitly, Ibbit, your mom didn't send this to me directly. This was part of some other file she sent me. So I just found it.
For all this explanation. Sure. Yeah.
So this apparently is another prom thing. I don't know what the deal was, but this is, I think, you yelling at a date, or maybe she's yelling at you, but here it is.
Darling, we're becoming unfashionably, unreasonably late.
Wow. You were a picky mother scratcher back then.
All the robot porn in this movie, and that's the prom audio.
I was, you know,
that was,
Didn't want.
I was really hoping you were gonna pull him talking to his first date, and she's crying.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yes.
He's like trying to assure her he's not gonna hurt her, and she's just weeping. And I'm just like, this is the least sexy thing I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and it doesn't help.
This hurt.
Doesn't help that all he has is like big band standards when he cocks his head. Like that's all he plays. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You need some more stuff in there, dude.
Well, he's on Spotify and not Apple Music.
Hey, Joe, what do you know? I wrote Still Weird, so let's see what that is.
Mrs. Swinton, could you hold a moment? I have an urgent call from your husband.
Oh, yeah, the phone calls are weird because they sound like they're in the room.
That's wild.
Wow, when you hear that out of context, that might be the worst acting in the whole movie.
It's probably somebody's a production assistant or something like that. All right, here's Old and Stupid.
He used to be a super toy, but now he's old and stupid.
Leave Teddy alone, you little shit.
Poor Teddy.
Freaking Martin, dude. Ugh,
why,
kid.
Why is this the only Teddy in the universe, by the way? It seems like if this Teddy was that great, like what we see as Teddy, you would think they made 10 million of them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, nobody plays
but the
anymore.
Way she talks about it, it's like, you know, it's locked in the closet, forgotten about for several years, so.
Plus, I have a Teddy Ruxpin in my house. I mean, how many times do you think I see those out in the wild? Never, but they were huge at one point.
Yeah, that was the implication that this was a big deal at one time, but now everyone's moved on to actual humans. And
where's your Cabbage Patch Kids?
But those your Teddy Ruxpin can't get up and walk around.
Right.
But like if it could, you might find that everywhere you go, there's a Teddy Ruxpin up walking around. Like,
I mean, you're right. There should be. Okay. They should be kind of walking all over the place. You know,
so
and why is their on button so deep in their anus? Why can't that be somewhere else?
Yeah, that's not smart.
No, the way she was digging in there, dude, it was like, find the switch already. Good hell,
gotta find it. It's in the bunghole. So I know we talked about the natural disaster that humans created by melting the polar ice caps. Were they implying there were also Martin's family was anti-vaxxers because he had a virus that messed with his legs and stuff. Wasn't that polio? Wasn't that essentially what was happening? A return?
No, it was
a polio.
No, he was hurt. I thought it was an accident.
No. He said he had a virus. That's what the doctor was talking about.
Oh, maybe some super virus or something. Anti-vaxxer as a movement, that whole crap didn't exist in 01. People were still just being smart and getting their kids vaccinated. Well, they weren't aware of dumb shitheads, yes.
Also,
if I get email, that's fine. Y'all are stupid if you're not vaccinating your kids. Okay, go ahead, Randy. What were you going to say?
I can't hear the word virus and not think computer virus also. And I couldn't help wondering if there was a subplot here that just kind of got axed where it's possible for people to, I mean, Brian Ibbett's greeting notwithstanding, it's possible for people to, you know, have gotten sick because of their contact with robots, you know?
Right.
Sure.
That's possible. But I don't know if I'm not going to give them that much credit. I think they were just like, well, what could hurt a kid? How about some weird virus from the future? Boom, you're in. I mean, maybe all the ice caps melted and some, I don't know, big woolly mammoth fell out of there and it had like 20 new diseases we'd never seen.
I'm just happy that I just like the fact that that in this movie, humans destroying themselves was kind of like a subplot. Like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
it's not even important. That's not important.
Well, in a weird way, the robots are yet another extension of human survival. It's them coming up with the ultimate way to live on in some fashion, and that is to build an intelligence that can go on without us.
Right.
That's very human. I actually really like that subplot. I think that's an interesting idea. It would have been cool. I mean, part of me wants to just go check out that 2,000 years, you know, and see what all went down. I want to know what wars happened. I want to know when it really started to tip the balance and there were more machines than men. Like, did it go full Matrix? Like, you know, when did they build ships that were just made out of a bunch of slats? Which is pretty cool. I like that a lot. Anyway, here's a thing.
When's your birthday?
Oh, I just didn't like how he said it. It annoyed me.
When's your birthday?
When's your birthday?
Hey guys, when's your birthday?
All right, here's the P thing from earlier.
Can you say P? P. Now say that two times fast.
A little rat just teaching him how to say P.
I know. Yeah, but who hasn't done that? A little kid said, all right, now say P. poop. Yeah. Or spell cut back or spell cup and then.
Oh, C-U-P. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for us, for my daughter, it was she said if we got her to say frog in any form, like frog, anything, she'd say the F word. So if she said, we'd say frog off, and she'd go F off, just like at the top of her little lungs when she was like two. It was the best.
Yeah, for Tristan, it was truck. And and he also called, so it'd be like, oh, the U-piss, U-piss F-bomb.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't get any of those. My kid, I do miss those days, though. Like, my kid called airplanes, he would say appy.
Oh,
and he was so excited to see an airplane. He was appy, appy, appy.
Oh,
like,
I love that stuff.
I wish I could just freeze that, you know, like
same.
It was only recently that he started saying yesterday, the word yesterday. Yeah. Up until pretty recently, he always said last day. And I tried to preserve it. I tried to say it too. So he'd keep saying last day. And then you realize, oh, there's a teacher over at that elementary school who's fighting me on this.
Oh, right.
I better stop.
Yeah, so society's gonna pry that stuff out. They're gonna change it, whether you like it or not. Yeah. Which sucks. But I remember for me, Christmas will always be Krimis, because that's how they said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Daddy, when's Krimis? Oh, I don't know, but don't ever stop saying Krimis. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the holiday for Jesus Krim, you know him.
Right.
All right, here's here's the guy from Galaxy Quest. I just captured him talking.
Hey, Joe, what do you know? How many seconds has it been the last time the two of you were together?
Creepy, dude. That guy's creepy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hate that. That guy's a murderer.
Yeah, he is a murderer.
That guy, like, and why doesn't Joe just apprehend him? I don't understand.
Yeah, say it ain't so, Joe.
Right, you got rules, man.
I wrote, I love him. I don't know what that means.
What's a new model doing loose and unregistered?
Sir, it's a late generation lover mecca.
Well, there's a relief from all this antique iron.
I just could listen to him talk as Irish.
Of course you love Johnson. I mean, they were chanting his name when he came out. How'd you feel about that, Johnson?
It wasn't so much the name. In fact, I forgot it was his name until you just said it. But I don't know. The Gleason family in general, even Doomhall, or however you say his name. Oh, speaking of which, he's in Ex Machina. He's got his son in it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, think about that till just now.
Nux.
General Nux or whatever. Captain Nux, General, Colonel. What was he? What was his rank in Star Wars? I don't remember. General? All right. Everyone's a general in Star Wars. Yeah.
That actually reminds me, like, again, I'd love to have know more about that. This actually, if they ever decide to redo AI, artificial intelligence, it would actually be really cool to do it as a miniseries, like an HBO miniseries, Westworld level production. Because then you could get a full episode about the Flesh Fair and the history of it and Gleason's character and his whole background. I think that would be really cool.
Or just spend more time there. Make that your show. Like, there's a lot to do with what society would do if we got to this point. And that would be really fun to explore, and you could get pretty gritty with it. Like, I mean, basically Westworld is this. So we're kind of getting that already. So HBO would probably pass on it because they've already got a show that's basically this. But
well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, some of the same themes are
Stars done. Or something like that could do it. FX or AMC or something like that.
Here's Chris Rock in his starring role as Robot in a Tube.
Kind of shoot me over the propeller thing. Yeah, I don't need to go through it. I was considering it, but I changed my mind.
All right. Is it racist Chris to make
Rock
a
black Chris Rock?
Is it racist to make a black guy robot?
Like Al Jolson.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's if you're building one.
I'm just answering your question. Yes. You can stop there. Yes.
Well, unless I don't know. I thought they were trying to make him look like Chris Rock. I didn't think they were trying to make him look like anybody else.
Well, I don't think I don't think they were going, hey, we're making a robot that looks and sounds like Chris Rock. I think in this universe, Chris Rock doesn't exist. He's just a robot. So I don't think this was like them referencing a 20th century comedian. I don't think anyway. Now that you say that, now I have to wonder, I guess.
But that's how I took it, but you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I can't tell.
I don't know.
Can't
Are tell. We looking for something out there? I don't know. Some people will tell us, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll tell us. I'm excited about it, too. I love being told what to think. Thought police. here's the I like the robot I wrote.
So when the opportunities avail themselves, they pick away at us. Cutting back our numbers so they can maintain numerical superiority.
Now, the problem with that robot is it's 70-something years old, And right. That's great. But did it age and become a cranky old piece of shit? Or was it younger when it was a new
robot? It was Arlie Ermey whole time.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, oh, is that Arlie Ermey? No, but it's somebody doing a heck of an impersonation.
It may as well be him. Yeah, I kind of liked it. All right, here's Agent Coulson chiming in. Had that guy in this movie. Here you go.
Yes. He's in one piece.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Agent Coulson. You've been great.
Thanks for that life model decoy.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Here's a Jude Law moment.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh, God.
All right.
I did enjoy that little walk down the trail. That was interesting.
Yeah. That grabbed your PG-13 by the horns a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it did.
All right. Say the name of the movie.
Artificial Intelligence.
There you go. That's good.
No, just the last part of it.
Yep.
Not the whole name of the movie.
That's true. And then finally.
Give him what he wants.
Okay. That's cool, Ben Kingsley. What I want is more Ben Kingsley. Now time for this. Time for the film sack checklist. Spinach is not good for you after all? Check. I want my own plastic Jude Law without the gigolo parts. Check. And finally, Martin is a little shitbag and so are his friends. Check.
Jeez, yeah. Robots would be fine if it weren't for shitty people.
Man, those kids were dicks. Ugh, made me mad. Stuff like that really pisses me off. You know what else pisses me off today? I watched a guy who was out jogging. I was walking the dog and he was pretty far from me.
And joggers.
I watched him. That part didn't piss me off. What pissed me off is I saw him stomping on something and then smiling and then running on. And when I got to where he was, he'd stomped on all these poor snails that were trying to get across the road.
Oh, geez.
It's freaking mean, man.
You have a serial killer in the neighborhood.
What an a-hole.
That makes me really sad.
Oh, I was very angry at him. And they're all just laying there crunched in their shells, and I couldn't do anything about it.
I live in a snail neighborhood. It's like... because they used reclaimed water to water all the landscaping in the neighborhood, and it's surrounded by desert.
Yeah.
And so my neighborhood is just overrun with snails, big, beautiful snails.
Yeah.
And everybody I know goes out of their way to not step on them in the morning. And so the thought of catching someone actually choosing to step on them, I don't know what I would do, but it would hurt my feelings.
I was enraged. I was so mad. And I couldn't see him when I got there, so he was long gone. Or I probably yelled. I don't know. I was so mad.
What would you have yelled, Scott?
I don't know.
I want to hear.
I don't know. Snail.
You dirty snail stopper.
I want to hear how triggered you'd be. Come on.
He's a snerial killer. we got to start.
Are they little bitty snails?
No, they were big. They were big, garden snails. Yeah. And we just had some big rain, so they always come out. And, I go out of my way.
Maybe he was trying to revive them.
Yeah, that was it.
Next to it after a bunch of puppy dog tails.
Yeah, he was.
Where's my magnifying glass? I got to kill some ants.
Puppy dog tail. He's just following the instructions.
I am, yes, puppy dog
tails. Now we got snails. What's next? What's after that, actually? Is there anything after
that? That's what little girls are made of.
Oh, all right.
Then he goes. No, that's not little girls.
That's what little boys are made of. That's right.
Oh, right.
Girls sugar and spice and everything nice is what girls are made of.
Right.
That's puppy dog tails, snails, and what's the other thing? Isn't there a third thing?
Sticks and snails.
Snips.
Snips and snails?
What kind of snips?
What's a snip?
Yeah, and puppy dog
sticks
tails.
And snails.
What's a snip?
Not sticks.
What's a snip? Who knows what a snip
porn.
Is?
I don't know.
Porn.
I'm going to look it up.
Porn. Snips.
Porn. Snips.
Snips and
TikTok.
And you'll find the
TikTok videos. That's what little boys are made of.
Okay, I found it. You guys ready? Here you go. Snips are little bits or quantities of things. Bits of string, bits of rocks, bits of shells, bits of sticks, bits about anything you might find in the pockets of a little boy. So snips are things they picked up.
So sticks is kind of interchangeable.
Yeah, sort of.
Sticks can be snips, but snips aren't always snips.
That's right.
Something like that.
Snips go to your hips. Yeah. Snips move.
One circle is contained completely within the other circle.
We have a Star Trek connection, or number of them. I'm not going to read them all, but there's a ton of them. Paula McCallum, who played Patricia in The Mirrored Room. She was in Enterprise. We have Voyager actors. Let's see. I'm going to go down and find a big one. Can't. They're all just people you never heard of.
Can't find them.
April Grace. She was a female colleague in TNG. She played a transporter chief. That's usually something you can always tell Cole Meany's not around. They got to bring somebody else in for a day. That's who that is. Anyway, thanks, Daryl, for that giant list that I'll never read. Soundtrack grade today. We're giving it an E for extravagant. So I did a little reading on this. John Williams, of course, collaborating like he always does. He basically created his first real concerto style thing. And apparently it's really long and way longer than the movie even.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's something else. It's really different for him, too. I mean, there were parts that were felt, you know, like, oh, yeah, this is John Williams. But there are other parts where it was, like, much more chamber music-y and Kubrick-y, sort of, you know, like, it's clear he was going for that. But it was crazy. Anyway, worth checking out if you're into John Williams. Twitter post, this is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters now is what they do. Or less. Let's start with Randy. I know, geez. Randy, you go ahead. You're first.
A.I. Artificial intelligence. Sex robots are here to woo you and lay you, and Frank Sinatra music is playing because that's going to make you stop crying and start getting it on, just like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Yeah. Very nice.
Nice.
And further
scrutiny.
I've decided that's a good Twitter thing. Next up, we have Brian Dunaway.
AI, artificial intelligence, like staring off in the distance and mugging a pleasured smile while someone buttons up your pajamas. Oh. Fun for you, uncomfortable for others. Now get out of my bed tube.
Trust me.
They shave that kid every day, it said in the trivia, look more plastic or whatever. That's just weird. Nobody's shaving no kid. That's weird.
Is it time for my shaving?
Boy, they couldn't do it now.
No, probably not.
Not with that big beard.
No, they'd be there all day. It's like an 8-hour job.
Our razor is losing.
It's too strong. Yeah. Can't keep up.
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
AI, artificial intelligence. WP wasted potential on a BS bad script that was probably written on TP, taupe parchment.
No. All right.
Genitals XP or whatever you said earlier.
Gentle Words XP.
Oh, man, that made me laugh for some reason. That was so good. All right. Well done. That means it's time for this right here. I have in my hands the alternate titers.
Ultimate titers.
These are the ultimate titers.
Too tight. I call them my ultimate titers.
My ultimate titers.
Order titers.
Y'all want me to make a batch of my ultimate titers? Anyway.
Those tighter whiters.
Title should have been I See Weird People. That was one of those. Yeah. Or, well, I hear New York is lovely this time of year. Because, you know, it's all underwater and shitty. We have an email from a listener who references something Brian Ibbett said. He sent this email as Dave, by the way.
All right.
What did I say now?
Filmsack@gmail.com. He says, Mr. Ibbett said something on the one about eight-legged freaks about tarantula fangs being small. Not so. As a proud owner of 4 pet tarantulas, I have had as many as 8 at one time over 20 in the past decade or so. I feel as though I have a duty to set the record straight. Tarantula fangs are large, very large. One of my tarantulas has fangs over 1/4 inch long. That is kind of long if you compare it to the body. Anyway, another has fangs almost 1/2 inch long. If you are bit by one, it would definitely penetrate your skin. Might even scrape bone. Then they give some further reading about their fangs. Tarantulas shed their exoskeleton like snakes. Tarantulas shed their fans like they are exoskeleton. What's a fan? I don't know what that is.
Probably fang.
Fang.
Oh, he wrote fans. Just missed one. All right, he missed a G. Anyway, I can mail you a tarantula shed so you can see the fangs for yourself if you'd like.
I thought I was going to mail you a tarantula. Wouldn't that be a surprise to open up a box?
I don't want a shed. Dude, just getting it shed is gross. I don't want that.
Yeah.
That's foul.
No,
thanks for the offer,
Dave. And sir, what does this contain? No, we're not shipping
especially
that.
After eight-legged freaks.
Yeah.
Right.
He says, I have a lot more information about them, including pictures. I'd be happy to answer any questions or send you pictures of my tarantulas. Cool. Thanks, Dave. Well, Dave.
Yeah, I think I was confusing the small fangs with just weak venom. I know they're not harmless to humans, and I was confusing what made them not harmless to humans.
Isn't the granddaddy long legs only have like, they have like, granddaddy long legs has like the shortest fangs, and they got like some of the most potent poison, isn't that
yeah
right?
But they can't
correct
get
me
it
if I'm wrong, spider people.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spider-Men. Here's the
thing about tarantulas, though. Brian was, I think part of the context of what you're saying is they're also, they're not aggressive. Like, they're just
right.
kind of, you know, they won't hurt you.
Relatively docile,
you.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Unless you blow on them. Isn't that the thing? He's not supposed to blow on them.
Oh.
God, really?
Oh, that sounds terrible. Why does that sound so awful? I can picture it. Ugh, I hate spiders.
Where does blowing on a tarantula go between stomping snails? Is that like
snails
worse?
Is worse? Snails not is worse because so you killed okay. the because you killed the snails. That's not fair to the snails.
Yeah,
right.
Jerk.
It's by not the way, fair to snails.
We forgot to do the gross thing, and I.
Oh yeah,
I don't. I think stuff? I have one. It's all fine.
Well, then why not bring even, it up?
Well, not even the open mouth chawing of the spinach or anything that didn't.
No, not really. Maybe yeah, him. You know what? Him activating the chick's soft palate to open her head.
Yeah, that was pretty gross. Sticking yeah. his finger in that lady. He stuck his finger in that lady's mouth. People.
Yeah, it's very penetrating. Yeah,
right up there
before his fellow student or before his the students in his classroom realized that she was a robot. Like,
whoa, sir, whoa.
Yeah, he just walks over there.
Me too.
Jams a
Did
finger.
Did anybody
in his
else
mouth?
Spend the rest of the movie hoping to see anyone ever stick their finger in and turn someone off? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like the whole movie, I'm like, you got this bucktooth thing in your pocket. Nope, we're never going to do it again. Okay.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm a little surprised.
I'm fine that they didn't do it anymore.
No, you're okay with just the one time? All right.
I'm okay with just another one time. Yeah.
All right.
Good example. Now never show me that again.
Exactly. Be like Dave. Send us emails. filmsack@gmail.com. All right. Our next film is what? I don't even know. What is it?
Oh, next week we're watching Ghost Ship.
Oh,
ooh,
Ghost
yes.
Ship. As a salvage ship. Tug crew tries to recover a long-lost passenger ship found floating lifeless on the Bering Sea, it quickly discovers an eerie presence starring Gabriel Byrne, Juliana Margulies, Isaiah Washington, and guys, it's only 90 minutes.
Yes.
We're actually going to watch a movie.
Oh, nice. Yes. Wow.
Hold on.
It's not an extended feature.
Why do I have it in my head that the... What's his name? I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Owen Wilson. I thought Owen Wilson
you
was
You say that every time we tell you, no, that's a haunted house. Is or it, what is it?
Ghost
house?
Haunted or something. What,
ghost
no, ghost. It's something else. It's the haunted or something like that.
The haunting or haunted? It's. I just have him in this movie in my head. I've never seen Ghost Ship, but I was always sure he was in it. Hmm. Or maybe there's someone like it and he
yeah,
dies.
Yeah, it's just haunting. That's what it is. The haunting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what my deal is, but Ghost Ship, a 2002.
Which is also, The Haunting is also a good movie. And Ghost Ship, I'm saying good movie. Let me correct myself. It's a good bad movie.
Oh, I know who I'm thinking of. It's, Carl Urban's in this. That's cool. Desmond Harrington, I think, is who I'm thinking of. No, that's not the guy. I freaking don't know.
Mm.
All right. Whatever. I've got this kind of.
Carl Urban?
Carl Urban's definitely in it.
Carl.
So we got Star Trek Doctor, we have Isaiah Washington, Grey's Anatomy Doctor, and we have Juliana Margulies, a nurse, I guess, from ER.
So. Emily Browning, who I just saw in American Gods seasons 1 and 2.
Did you finish season 2?
I did.
Didn't like it?
Right.
Not your thing?
Not as much as season 1.
Oh, that girl's in Sleeping Beauty. That's a weird movie.
Yeah, and Sucker Punch and... similar movie, Sucker Punch, too, or similar premise, I should say.
Sleeping
very
Beauty
movie.
Made me very uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
Yeah,
all those old guys like rubbing all up on her.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. All right. Well, there's that. Thanks for being here, everybody, and listening. We'll be back with that next week. In the meantime, the website is filmsack.com. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter and say stuff there, you certainly can. It's @filmsack. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, we are checking out your voicemails when you send them, 801-471-0462. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
P.
Cock.
We'll see you next. Cock. See you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this. At frogpants.com.
Give him what he wants.
Okay. Give me what I want.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.